more and better is not measurable and it's not tactical. So like, it's a lot of times it's like going to your doctor and your doctor looks at your blood work and he's like, hey, Vince, sit, have a seat, looking over your blood work. I need you to get in better health. And you'd probably be like, what? Like, what? What does that mean?
Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Vince Del Monte, father, husband, and the OG of online fitness marketing. For more than a decade, I've been committed to helping skinny guys pack on muscle. And after building multiple seven-figure online fitness businesses, I've achieved freedom and financial security through mentorship, hard work, and my passion for fitness. And I want to help you do the same. Recently, I've built the best mastermind coaching program that exists for fitness professionals by giving you the shortest, no BS path to grow to 6, 7, and even 8 figures, regardless of your starting level. My coaching was designed to give you the skills, systems, and support to become an industry mover and shaker and build the business and life of your dreams. All right. Welcome back to the Vince Del Monte podcast show. I'm here today with my brother, Adrian, head coach of our men's development program, Men of Bedrock. Adrian, are you ready to roll today?
Yes, sir. I've been excited for this one for a long time, Vince.
Okay. So our guest today is Larry Hagner, host of the Dad Edge podcast and founder of the Dad Edge Alliance, a movement of men who's working towards living legendary lives as men, fathers, and husbands. Larry has grown a respected and fast-growing movement from just himself to over 1,000 podcast episodes and over 100 men in his inner circle. He's in the season of helping men rattle the minds and hearts of men and helping them get out of their own way. This is what I'm most excited to chat about today. And he's got a really interesting perspective around the whole idea that the work does not start and stop with you. And I'm going to let him talk more about that and where it actually leads to. So Larry, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
Oh, we're great. We're so glad to be with you here today, Larry. We're going to alternate our questions back and forth. Now, let me offer a clarification as a little brother to a big brother. I think the Dad's Edge Alliance has over 700 men. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and we want to talk about the build that got you there, which is where we're going to go with the first part of the conversation. So let me ask you this. You're a busy dad. You've got 4 kids ranging between age 6 and age 16. Give us a day in your life. What's that look like? Like, what time you get into bed? We always like to start with the night before.
Yeah.
Morning. How are you making time for your fit guy running this big business? Give us a day in your life.
So, man, starting with the night before. So we pretty much, you know, we're back in school season right now, which our schedule is pretty regimented, which that's the way we like it. Normally we start putting the littles, we call them the littles, the 6-year-old and 8-year-old to bed around 9 and 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we have this whole, my wife and I were just joking about this last night. She's like, it takes 90 minutes for bedtime. Right. So we have like, literally it's about like an hour and a half, you know, with all the rigmarole. So we, you know, we read books with the littles, you know, we hang out with them, we talk to them. Usually I like to ask them 3 questions every single day. And I can give you the whole psychology behind these questions if you want, which is, tell me about the best part of your day today. Why was it so meaningful? Second question is, what was something that challenged you today? And what'd you learn from it? Third question is, what are you most excited about tomorrow? Basically, and I'm happy to go into detail with all 3 of those questions, but basically what those do is it helps instill a growth mindset in a child with you as their parent. It also teaches them to dive into gratitude. You also have an opportunity as a parent to create what we call an environment of psychological safety, which over time, getting those reps in, you know, day after day, most challenging part of your day, tell me what you learned from it. It takes a lot of courage for your kid to tell you what they failed at. Mm-hmm. Right. And how we respond, basically what you're teaching them is, I'm your go-to when shit goes wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. So that's called creating an environment of psychological safety. The third question is what I like to call the Netflix to be continued question for the next day, because Netflix always has this way of like hooking you. So you binge watch like 7 shows. But if I ask my kid, like, what are you most excited about tomorrow? And he's like, I've been working on my cultural geography report for a week and I'm presenting it tomorrow. I'm really excited about it. What do you think I'm going to ask him first question I ask him the next day? It's that Netflix to be continued. That basically shows that I'm in your life. I'm interested in you. I'm all about you. So those are questions that we ask at night. I also talk to the bigs every night. So is my wife, just recapping their day. You know, my 16-year-old, he's 16. And it blows my mind. His favorite two words, let's talk. He loves to talk about his day. And I embrace that. And I'm like, hey man, like, yeah, let's talk about your day. So that usually I'm in bed by about 10. Me and Jessica will usually talk, kind of recap our day, or, you know, sometimes depending on our energy, maybe we'll watch a little bit of TV, like 7 minutes before we pass out. Normally the next day I'm up at 6. I used to wake up at 4. I don't do that anymore. I'm up at 6. I have a whole morning routine that I do. And then by 7 o'clock, I'm taking my 14-year-old and his girlfriend that he's dating to school right now. Come back home, start my day at 8, end my day at 3 every day.
Larry, nice. Can I just jump in for a second here? Before you even got to bed, but I used the word rigmarole. Rigmarole implies that it's kind of like, we'll see what happens. But this is highly intentional time.
It is.
Yeah. Is that your mindset? Vince is going to take us into the your business in a second, but is that your mindset on a lot of things, that level of intentionality? Like you're not drifting here.
I'm not. Here's the thing. I am not I'm not perfect. And I'll be honest, there are some nights where, like, I always say that 9 p.m. is my witching hour. In other words, that is the time where I'm probably maybe if I'm cranky, that's the time I'm most cranky. If I'm tired, that's the time I'm most tired. That's literally the 60-minute window where I feel like doing these things the least. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but it is what it is. That's reality. But whether I feel like doing them or not, I still do them. So, and there are some nights where I'm just like, I just want to go to bed because I want to get with your mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you know, that I also realize here's what shows up for me. There's going to come a time where 9 o'clock will roll around and there's no kids in this house. And I'm going to look back and be like, I wish I could say goodnight to my kids. I wish I could talk to them for 15 minutes and I just can't. So I'm going to capture that. I'll be really honest with you guys about something really transparent. I don't know if how many guests are kind of in your face. My wife and I don't have sex at night anymore. And we do that on purpose. We have sex during the day while the kids are at school. We do that because our door is like a revolving door of children that never ends. And here's the thing. We're okay with that. We welcome that. There are times where the bigs come in, you know, and they just hang out in our room and they talk to us or they watch TV and it's like 10:30 at night, sometimes 11. Hmm. And we've just given up. We're like, let's just not have sex at night because somebody's going to walk in and see some shit that they don't want to see. So instead, let's just assume somebody's going to come walking in here. And they do. Yeah. But my wife and I are okay with that because we're like, you know, they're not going to do this forever. In fact, here's something that really hit me in the heart. My oldest son, I only have 3 more summers with him and he's out of here. So I can wait and so can she. And that's the decision we've made. So if he wants to come in our room and hang out, watch TV with us or hang out and talk about his day or whatever else, and my 14-year-old too, come on in.
Wow. Very sacrificial lifestyle. Yeah. It's tough, you know, when you're tired at the end of the day. And, you know, if you can't do it in your home, it's going to be tough to transfer outside of the home. And I love to maybe transition to just Dad Ed Alliance and love to hear that story. I know it started with Good Dad Project, which later became the Dad's Edge. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd love just to know how the whole business, the origin story around how that started and how that's grown.
If you would have asked me 10 years ago, would this become an organization, a business, a mastermind? I would have laughed. You know, if you would have told me I would quit my full-time job in a highly lucrative industry in medical device sales to do this, I probably would have been like, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'll share with you. I wish I could tell you that Dad Edge started with this beautiful epiphany, you know, of like, oh, like this is really what I want to do. It started with a really horrible, dark time. I'm happy to talk about my childhood if you want, but basically what my childhood was, and there's a whole lot of detail that goes into it. My mom and biological father were married, I think 4 or 5 years. They had me. He left when I was about a year, the really horrible, bitter divorce. Didn't know him. Had no clue who he was. My mom got remarried when I was 4. in my mind, that's what I thought a dad was. Moms go out and find dads, and she went out and found a dad. Like that, that's literally, I had no clue for a long time that I had a biological father. They got divorced when I was 10. Without going into a whole lot of detail because of time, I had an opportunity to meet my dad when I was 12, my biological father. And that was very surreal for me. And I remember I immediately started calling him dad. I was so, so excited to meet him. He only lived 3 miles from us, had no clue. He was married at the time, 2-year-old son, another one on the way. We had a relationship for about 6 months. In the last month, it got really weird. Really weird, meaning like he kind of started to pull away. Best way I can describe it as an adult now is imagine a woman that you're dating. She's not into you anymore, but she hasn't told you yet. But you know it's coming. Mm. That's the feeling that I got. And basically
at 12, when you were just 12.
Yeah, when I was 12, I just knew something was heavy. Yeah. I asked him about it and he told me, he was just like, you know, it's bad timing for me, trying to start over. I can't really do this right now. And I remember being 12 and I was on the phone with him. I called him an asshole and hung up on him. And that was it. And my entire childhood became this revolving door of my mom being married a total of 3 times, several men that she dated in between. All of them were toxic. All of them were abusive. All of them were partiers. It's like the same guy, different face, different name. Half my childhood was spent without a father figure. The other half was spent with a toxic one. Crazy thing happened when I was 30. I was in medical device sales at the time. I had a standing meeting every Monday with my team. I was married at the time. Or still married, obviously, the same woman. And first son on the way. Ethan was on the way. And I'm in a Starbucks here in St. Louis. And who came walking in to get his morning coffee?
Dad.
My father.
Crazy.
Right. The whole story behind how we connected, but we connected. Here we are 17 years later. Still got a relationship with him. Everything is good. But here's what I'll tell you about my childhood. I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I became a father. I was hot. I was quick to temper. I had a mediocre marriage at best. Wasn't the best intimacy with my wife, wasn't the best communication. 10 years ago, Mason was 4. He's 14 now. I lost my temper with him. I spanked him. I always swore to myself I would never hit my kids out of anger because I was raised with a very heavy hand. And I hit him, and I hit him so hard he hit the ground. Spanked him on the butt, and he lost his balance and hit the ground. And it was in that moment I was like, holy shit, what the hell just happened? And my wife, who's very forgiving and gives a lot of grace, looked at me and she's like, wow, really? Really? And that's when I knew, oh my God, something needs to change. Went into my office. What do you do when you're an adult? You have a bad moment. You go on social media and watch everybody else's highlight reel. And that's exactly what I did. Tears rolling down my face. In the left-hand corner, I saw this button that said, create a page. I had never created a page. I call it divine intervention. I'm a man of faith. I swear to God, God had his hand in that one. And I hit that button. And the thing popped up. What do you want to name your page? And I didn't even hesitate. The Good Dad Project. I don't even know why it happened. It just did. And that was my surrender. The Good Dad Project was actually me. I was the project. I was like, I'm sick and tired of not knowing what the hell I'm doing with this. I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good father. And I want to be better. And I started really looking at things in my life, like medical device sales. I was really good at sales. I was also great at fitness. I was good at martial arts, had studied martial arts for years. And I started really looking at those things like, why am I decent in these things? Well, I'm decent because I have training. Take martial arts. I go to class 3 times a week. I have a coach. I have an instructor. I have someone who teaches me these things, refines these things, polishes these things. And I was like, wow, there's something to be said there. What have I done in parenting and marriage? Nothing. Wing it, right? And that's what we all do. So I just made a commitment that day. I was like, I'm going to go out and learn something new every single day. And I'm just going to post it here for like my own diary. And that page got a lot of followers. And I was like, just very authentic and very imperfect. And just basically stating like, hey, I'm an idiot. I just learned this. I'm a moron. I just learned this. And I just posted. That turned into speaking events. That turned into a blog in 2013. I got tired of blogging. So in 2015, started the podcast, the Good Dad Project podcast, really got a lot of traction. And then over the past 7 years, it's evolved into the Dad Edge. And I can tell you why about that if you want, but it's evolved into 1,000 episodes, having high level conversations with amazing people, learning about fatherhood, learning about marriage, patience, mindset, health, physical, mental, emotional health, spirituality, and leadership. And to answer your question about Dad Edge Alliance, I joined a mastermind when I was in 2015. I had a great mentor and I was a part of that mastermind. I'd never been a part of a mastermind. And I was like, oh my God. And my whole world opened up. I was surrounded by other like-minded men who wanted to help me elevate my marriage, parenting, my business, and the whole nine yards. And it did. And in 2016, I broke away from that mastermind. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to start my own because dads need this. Started the Dad Edge Mastermind. And then 2017 started the Dad Edge Alliance because we had such a good response from men who did life with us in 2016. And we've been doing it now for five, almost 6 years, almost 800 men in our tribe. We have two separate programs, one for what we call, I would say, the 9-to-5ers, which is fine. You know, a lot of career guys in that program. And then that's the Alliance. Then we have Dad Edge Accelerator, which is for dad business owners, just because the mindset for business owners is a bit different. As you guys know, put a lot of emotional and physical energy into our businesses. And I think a lot of men, if they do a job sometimes, I know with me, with medical device sales, I was able to compartmentalize and detach from my career and still be a family man. But when it came to my business that I had more investment in, it tends to wear on you a little bit more, and you need a little bit more time management around your business, marriage, and kids.
When did you quit the medical sales, Larry? Or are you still doing that part-time? When did you?
No, I quit a year and a half ago.
Really? So you were doing these simultaneously for, do the math there, 2000, like seven, like 8 years.
I was 2000. It was really 2016 that I started the coaching program.
Okay.
But I had started scaling it from the very, very beginning to where I had coaches that worked for me and that kind of thing. I was actually able to balance my job and this extremely efficiently. I made plan in my career 6 years straight. And I was the only division that did that within my company. So I was very efficient. I was very effective in both areas. And I gave equal time to both without completely and totally stressing myself out. Mm.
Good for you. I'd love to hear you. Maybe I know why Adrian was asking that question. I think I do. Adrian's he's a full-time school teacher. And, you know, we're starting this new venture, and this is a whole new world for him. So this morning we were at Tim Hortons at 4:45. We were working for 2 hours on our marketing plan for our next opening. And what did you say to him? He said something like, how do you do this?
What drove you through, Larry? Like our program is, it does help men with their physical fitness. We want to help men get lean and jacked. And I don't struggle with myself as an imposter in that nature, but like you, part of our program is to help men become the good dad, like good dads. Did that ever put pressure on you? Like, you were growing a business that revolved around a product that was like excellent, being an excellent father.
Your character.
Yeah, your character. Did that bring out the best? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I'm just re-emphasizing what you're saying. When your character's not on point, you know, when I launched this podcast many years ago, it's built around the 5 M's of manhood: muscle, mindset, money, mission, and marriage. And I used to say, Flavia, you got to come on. We'll get, you know, so many more views. And she's like, we're not going to talk about marriage. Like, our marriage isn't, we're not putting our marriage out on display. I'm like, yeah, but we got some good stuff too. And there is a grain of truth there where, like, are we in the position to talk about this? But then there was also stuff that I knew would be helpful. So yeah, just how do you wrestle with that in terms of, like, I know a lot of guys in fitness, you know, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to look the part all the time. And if you slip, then all of a sudden you have no value. And now we're asking the question from the lens of, now you're putting your whole, you know, status as a dad, as a good dad, on as the billboard, if you will.
Yeah.
Good dad, right?
The Dad Edge, right?
Yeah. The Dad Edge. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to answer that two different ways. So here's the deal in my mind when it comes to, like, let's just take fitness. Okay. If I see a guy now, I didn't used to be fit. I spent half my life really overweight. I was the fat kid. I was the kid like, hey, boom, baba, boom, baba, boom. Stand By Me was a popular movie when I was a kid. Lard ass, right? Lard ass, fat ass, man tits, all these things that I grew up. I'll never forget being really, really overweight. And I was 15 years old. I went to this like sort of homecoming / mixer type thing where, you know, everybody, no one had dates, but you just showed up. And I was wanting to ask this girl to dance all night, and I was too scared to, because I'd been rejected by so many girls, right? Go up to this girl And finally, I got enough balls at the end of the night to ask her to dance. And I said, hey, would you like to dance? And she literally did this, looked me up and down, looked me up and down, total disgust. And she goes, not a chance, and walked away. And dude, I will never forget that night, because I came home. At the time, my mom was, there was a guy living with us who was a total freaking nightmare. This guy was an absolute crazy person. But there was one thing that was good about him, and he used to be a bodybuilder. And I came home, tail between my legs, I sat down on the couch, and he was a very non-caring individual most of the time, but for whatever reason that night, he was caring. And he goes, you okay? And I was like, no. And he goes, why? And I told him why. And he goes, he listened, and he goes, I just have one question for you. Are you tired of being a fat ass yet? And I was like, wow, that's pretty harsh. Thanks for pouring salt in the wound. I don't know, but here's the thing, man. I don't know what it was, but something fired in me. And I was like, yeah, I am. Mm. He's like, okay, you ready to do something about it? And I was like, yep, I am. He woke me up every morning at 4:30 in the morning, made me work out, taught me how to eat. And I don't know what it was about. I hated it at first, but then I started getting results, started losing weight, lost 60 pounds my junior year of high school. Girls started to take notice. I had more confidence. I started being picked, you know, for teams and athletic stuff that I never got picked for. But here's what I'll tell you about the fitness industry, right? I got my degree in health, exercise science, and nutrition in college. And I was a personal trainer. That's what paid my way through college. I swear, me walking in the shoes of someone who is overweight for the majority of my life made me a more empathetic and relatable trainer to my clients, because I wasn't the jacked guy walking around that had feelings. I knew firsthand the pain of my clients. Here's the other thing too. You mentioned Dad Edge. I know the pain firsthand of what it feels like when you don't know what you're doing, when you don't have your marriage on point, when you have no patience with your kids. Now, here's what I'll answer the second part of the question, which is, I would like to really reframe that question as imposter syndrome. And I'll share a story with you. I'm doing the Dad Edge. I'm the host of the Dad Edge podcast. I'm the chief facilitator of the Dad Edge Alliance, right? And there is nothing more that I love than doing this work. And it also jacks with my head because I have bad moments every freaking day, man, right? So I'll give you an example. Doing this movement, it's taught me a lot. Share a quick story with you. Again, it's Mason, my 14-year-old. He has this habit of like leaving trash behind and dishes, and it drives me mad. And he does it downstairs, like in the area where everybody watches TV. So I'll go down there, it'll be empty Gatorade bottles, bowls, and popcorn bags and all this crap. And it pisses me off because I don't like clutter and I don't like messes. And the story I tell myself when one of my kids do that is, you don't care about your environment. You're being disrespectful. You're being lazy, and it pisses me off. Now, in my kids, they're being kids, and they just, it's not on the radar, and they're just being forgetful, but I don't see it that way. So this happened just a few weeks ago. So I go to Mason and I'm like, dude, what is up with this? Like all this stuff on the ground, like these are your dishes, these are your bottles. And he's like, yeah. I was like, dude, how many times I got to tell you, pick up your stuff. I'm sick and tired of seeing your stuff on the ground. Pick it up. What is it going to take to get through your head, man?
Your dad voice is coming out there, Larry.
Well, I want to make sure that you guys
hearing it. We're hearing it. Yeah, yeah.
Because I want the full effect.
That's it.
And this is when your 14-year-old turns into a 30-year-old. And he goes, he looks at me and I'm going on my rant and he goes, you don't have to yell at me. And I'm like, and of course then my ego kicks in. Well, if you picked up, I wouldn't have to yell. And he goes, Dad, I just forgot. I have been better about it. Would you agree? I was like, yeah, you've been better about it, but here we are again.
Wow.
He's like, I'm sorry. I'll pick it up. He goes, but is there any way in the future that you could just ask me nicely? And again, the ego. If I ask you nicely, I don't know if it's going to sink in, Mason. Like, just do it, man. Just pick up after yourself. He's like, but if you ask me nicely, I swear I'll do it and I'll be better about it. I walked away from that. It took me about 15 minutes. And I was like, this is where my 14-year-old just was more mature than me. But had I not been doing this work, I wouldn't have recognized that. And I went back to him and I said, here's, I'm sorry. I was like, I'm sorry I talked to you the way I did. You're approaching adulthood at this point. You're almost 15. You know, you're in high school now. And we have to have different dynamics in our relationship. I was like, I'm apologizing. I was like, I'm not saying what you leaving your trash behind is right, but I'm apologizing for my own behavior. Because you're right. I don't have to yell at you. I can treat you like a respectful human being. I was like, I'm sorry about that. And he's like, it's okay. I was like, here's what I'll do. From now on, if I see something, I'll ask you nicely. Okay. And I was like, and in return, I just ask you to do it right away. And I just ask you to be more vigilant about picking up after yourself. And he has been great about it. And every time I've done it since then, I'm like, hey, Mason, would you mind picking up your trash? And he's like, yeah, no problem. I was like, see what we did there? And I'll point it out. but here's what I'll tell you. This is how I ended that conversation. I said, buddy, I remember growing up and getting yelled at. And it was always, I'm the mom, you're the son, I'm right, you're wrong. There was never an apology. I was like, Mason, you know how you're 14 and you're a freshman in high school, trying to figure out how to be 14, trying to figure out how to be you were a lineman, now you're the quarterback on your football team and you got a lot of stress and pressure. You're just trying to figure everything out, like high school and football and girls and friends and all this stuff, like being 14. He's like, oh yeah. It's like, I'm still trying to figure out how to be 46, man. I'm still trying to figure out how to be the father of four boys. And I told him, I said, some days I fall flat on my face and other days I get it right. And today I fell on my face and I'm sorry. Mm. So,
wow.
I think
powerful.
Thank you. But I share that because in that moment, I'm giving myself a little bit of grace. I'm teaching him what it looks like to have extreme ownership. And I'm also showing my son, I'm not the end all be all, man. I'm a human being just like you, just trying to figure all this stuff out.
Yo, 30-second announcement here. If you're a serious online fitness or nutrition coach or an aspiring trainer ready to go online, but you lack the strategies, the systems, and clarity, you're intimidated by what you need to do to get to the next level, and you want to enjoy more time off while making more money, while having a massive impact and bigger reach, give me 2 days in Las Vegas, baby, September 16th and 17th, and I'm going to show you how even our newbie students are crushing it to the tune of 10, 20 and even $50,000 months. I know that might be hard to believe. Many of them are even going beyond six figures a month with our organic scaling systems. If you want more information, go to sevenfiguremastermind.ca/Vegas. The clock is ticking and we are giving away a limited number of seats to sit in and test drive our event. And guess what? You get to pick your price. You tell us how much it's worth. Submit a fair offer. If we accept, you're in. All you got to do is book your flight and hotel, and we will see you there. And the lineup of speakers we have will pay for your expenses 10 times over. So check it out. The link's in the description, and I can't wait to see you in Vegas, baby.
Man. Larry, use the word trying a whole bunch of times there. I just want to, before Vince takes the next question, the Good Dad Project, maybe if you were rebranding, it would be like, trying to become the good dad, you know, trying to get the dad at, like that's more accurate. I mean, I can see your logo in the back. You've got the epic helmet. And I think sometimes we assume that we'll walk into the battle fully prepared. And maybe the trying to get the victory is actually where the victory is found. Great story.
And to tie together, I think you nailed it at the start. You said, I have bad moments.
Yeah.
Right. I have to tell myself and my clients all the time, hey Vince, I had a bad month, and I have to send them back the voice note and I have to tell them, you don't have a bad business and you don't have a bad life, right? You're not a bad dad. It's how you respond to these. So I have a follow-up question to this. You know, how to come out of a funk? Sometimes, you know, that situation can go in a completely different direction where the dad, whether, you know, it doesn't have the ability to receive the feedback, see it as an opportunity for a lesson, for growth, and they'll isolate, they'll disconnect, they might get angry. Any thoughts on guys that, you know, come into those situations and instead of using them as learning opportunities and growth opportunities, they hide and they don't face the emotions that are going on, and they take that one incident and then they make it, you know, even worse. How do you get back on track? You know, You screw up. How do you get back on track? You know, you have a fight with your wife, you have a fight with your kid, you do something wrong. Sometimes guys let these things spiral into 3 days, 3 weeks, and creates more damage. Yeah. That creates way more damage than the actual thing itself. And I see this, you know, some people call it self-sabotage, but how do you help guys get out of a funk? You know, what kind of advice would you have?
Let me answer that question with a question. Do you guys ruck?
What is it?
Ruck.
Sorry?
A rucksack. Do you guys ruck?
No. Oh, ruck. Oh, no, haven't rucked. Read about it.
So yeah, rucking is where you take, you know, a backpack and you throw like a 25, 35, 50 pound plate in there, right? And it just gets, you know, freaking heavy after a while. You know, if you want to get a good workout in, you want to go for a walk, throw on a rucksack. You know, that's what the military does. That's what Go Ruck does. You know, they have events and stuff like that. But rucking is a very popular thing. And so think about for your audience, for those of you guys who ruck, or think about, you know, carrying a 50 pound pack on your back, and just let that sink in for a moment while I answer this question. The second way I'll answer that question, I'm going to get back to the rucking thing, is I want to share a quote. The definition of hell is meeting the man that we could have become when we're lying on our deathbed. Hmm. Now let that one sink in for a moment. I think about that very, very vividly. In other words, you know, a lot of men, husbands and fathers, are living in their own mental and emotional prison of self-sabotage. They're not leaning in. They're lone wolfing it. They don't have a tribe. And this is where tribe, and you guys know this all too well, having a tribe, having a group of like-minded people, especially men, is extremely powerful. Those times of self-sabotage and valleys, and sometimes you're right, Adrian, it can last a lifetime for guys. They're so much more short-lived when you're in the right environment and the right people. The second thing is, let me go back to the rucksack. Now, the old me had a moment like that with Mason, right? I wouldn't have come back and apologized. I wouldn't have come back and owned anything. I'd probably be like, that damn kid, like he had that coming. He needs to learn his lesson. But inside, it would have ate me freaking alive, man. But my ego wouldn't allow me to let it go. Now, that becomes like a rucksack of these things that we just carry, right? And we carry it and we carry it and we carry it. No wonder men are so worn down, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us, mentally, emotionally, physically. And what happens is this, and I want to share one more story too, but what happens is this, is when you have a group of like-minded men, you guys have a group, we have a group, but when you have a group of like-minded individuals where you can unpack something like that that just happened, you can let that rucksack off your shoulders. You're like, and sometimes you have no freaking clue, man, how heavy that thing is until you take it off. And you're like, oh, holy shit. Like, I feel so much more energized. I feel so much better. Once you take that rucksack off, your energy goes up. It's like, okay, I can go on now. That's like unpacking a situation or a self-sabotage season to where a man can get renewed, refreshed, get strategy, get ideas, and then just move forward versus like just staying. Like, I'm just going to carry this rucksack around for the rest of my life. Just keep packing 50 pounds of 60 pounds, 70 pounds, 80 pounds. That's my answer to that question.
Great answer.
That's really good. Agent's going to take the conversation towards becoming a better man in a second. I have one interesting question here. You know, being a businessman yourself, do you ever get caught up in all the hoopla? You know, these days I can't open my inbox without reading, you know, subject line, how I made $148,000 in 1 week. And, you know, do you ever get caught up in the pressure of, you know, sharing your numbers, whether it be, you know, number of members, you know, revenue? When I started back in 2006, this was not a thing. Nobody knew how well. Everybody seems to talk about that. And it creates this external pressure, almost like it's how you have to size up. I've personally discovered that when I talk about my revenue on social media, our numbers go down. And I talked to one of my insiders and he says, yeah, because your people can't resonate with that. So you're better off. So I just, you know, talk about things I might do, but like stay away from the specifics. But I hear this, I see guys like even now talking about what they're doing and I know the actual numbers. I'm like, that's not what you do. Or I consult people and they come into my room and like, So first of all, this is what we say we do on social media. This is what we actually do. Like, holy geez, that's a big difference. How do you wrestle with that? And maybe just some advice for guys who are like now maybe starting public brands and just trying to navigate how much you keep private versus public.
That's a good question. So here's what I'll tell you. The sustainability of our businesses are very, very important, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the way I view the dad edge. If I'm not, and I will use the term, I will say this twice, a little bit focused on our numbers, our revenue, members, and all that. If I'm not a little bit focused on that and very cognizant of that, I can get careless and this whole movement goes away. So I have to be somewhat cognizant of that. However, what I will tell you is I purposely do not do our books. I have hired that out. I've had the same bookkeeper for 3 years. She sends me monthly reports. I have a CPA who does my numbers and I'm on my own. The way my business is structured, I'm on payroll. I pay myself a salary. I'll be really honest with you guys. I pay myself a salary that pays our bills. That's it. I don't bank like 60 grand a month in salary. I don't do that. I pay my family and me enough money to pay our bills and to save for the future.
That's what we do too.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing crazy.
Why have you insulated yourself from the numbers?
Because that's not here's my view on it. The moment that that becomes my focus, I lose the focus of what the true meaning of what this movement is. You know, if I'm looking at a member and the dollar signs that he brings, I'm not looking at his marriage. I'm not looking at the patience level he has with his kids. I'm not looking at his mindset and how he's leading himself in his own physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. I'm not looking as how can I make this man a more effective leader? How can I help him elevate his marriage? If I'm focusing on like how much more money can I make, those things go away. And then I truly believe your customers, your members, and maybe even the candidates or the avatars who are watching on social media, they see that. They pick up on it.
Yeah.
So now I don't focus on it that much.
I don't disagree. I think there's a lot of truth to what you just said. Yeah, that stuff, the numbers you got to be on the numbers in certain elements for sure, but they actually take care of themselves if you take care of the results and what's happening inside first and foremost. And that always comes with the give a F factor. That's something you either have or you don't.
Yeah.
yeah. Great. Adrian, next question.
Yeah. Larry, we wanted to transition a bit, make it really practical for parents listening. When many of Vince's students do a fitness transformation, you can see the results, right? With the like before photo, with the gut hanging out, the bad lighting, et cetera. And then you see the after photo of there's the 6% body fat, et cetera, et cetera. You can't quite do a before and after with photos for men living legendary lives. But could you paint us that picture anyways? Like, what is a dad who takes off the rucksack, so to speak, and like really gets into the game? What would the after photo look like? How's that dad living once he's got the edge, once he's trying to become a good dad? What's his life?
And Adrian,
like?
some of these guys probably will look way physically better.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of them look physically better too.
Some of them want a flat stomach. They don't want 6-pack abs. Some guys want 8-pack abs, not 6. So there's a different, we get that. They probably will look physically different. I'd be shocked if they did not look physically different. But yeah, what Adrian's saying is that there's a lot of stuff that, like, Adrian's in good shape. Like, he's more of an endurance athlete, but you don't see his character unless you're actually with him and his kids and his family on a camping trip. Then you see him shine. I see him in the gym. I see him train. We're not naturally big guys, like, but you really see him in private. Adrian looks great. But like, we're not competitive bodybuilders. So I think, yes, speaking of the character changes that are happening, that aren't that, they're not, you know, you can't let them broadcast that on social media kind of thing. Not that you're saying you have to, but yeah, they're happening privately behind the doors.
So what's he look like? What's that guy look like once he's gone through that transformational life process?
So have you ever seen the look on somebody's face when they don't know what direction to go in? Maybe it's driving. Maybe they're new to your city and they're just like, hey, can you tell me how to get to...
Or they're in their phone, right? They got their phone.
Get the map. Get their map on the street corner.
Yeah. So, you know, I love the health industry. I mean, obviously I've been in fitness for 30 plus years now. It's a huge part of my life. Health is something you can absolutely measure, right? I've lost body weight. I've lost body. BMI is better and my body fat's better. That's easy. Same thing with our finances. When it comes to marriage and parenting and mindset, it's a little bit more subjective, right? So like for instance, but there's still a way to give a man a map. Do you guys have a car with GPS in it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember what it was like driving without it?
You'd go to gas stations.
Yeah, go to gas stations, paper map or whatever. Yeah. GPS, like, so if you really think about the psychology behind GPS, like just, you know, you plug the address in, it gives you a couple different alternate routes, the time it's going to take to get there, maybe accidents along the way or whatever, you know, okay, at 8:48 PM, I'm going to get to my destination. And I know that if I take this other route, it's going to take 5 minutes more and there's an accident over here. All I have to do is listen to Siri tell me where to turn. Like I can just actually enjoy the ride, right? I can be more intentional. I can be more present versus like, I'm lost. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what time I'm going to get there, which causes frustration. So what I'll tell you is when it comes to, for instance, marriage, how do you measure that? How do you do the before and after? So I'm very big on tactics and skills, tactics and skills. So like, for instance, a lot of guys will come to me. This is where your industry and my industry is a little different. A lot of guys will come to you and say, Vince, Adrian, I need to lose 30 pounds and I need to get from 30% body fat to 18. Very measurable numbers. Here's what I hear. Larry, I need to improve my marriage. Okay. What do you need to improve? Like, cause it's very subjective. They came to you and said, hey, Adrian, Vince, I need to improve my health. What's your first question?
Yeah. Like how, where?
How?
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah. Do you have diabetes? Do you have cancer? Do you want to lose body fat? What is it?
Yeah.
So what I ask is, and let's just take communication. I need to improve the communication with my wife. Okay. What do you need to improve? Here are the two words I always hear. I want more communication or I want better communication. Hmm. More and better is not measurable and it's not tactical. So like, it's a lot of times it's like going to your doctor and your doctor looks at your blood work and he's like, hey, Vince, sit, have a seat, looking over your blood work. I need you to get in better health. And you'd probably be like, what? Like, what? What does that mean? Like, what would you ask, Vince?
Specifically how?
Yeah,
strength, well, endurance. Yeah. I'm feeling my blood level, my cholesterol, my testosterone. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. What do I need to improve on specifically? More and better does not give me anything. So like, for instance, I'll ask a man, what's conversation like with your wife every day? What's the first question you ask her when you get home? And he'll be like, how was your day? And I always tell him, shitty question. They'll give you a shitty answer that does not provide any depth, any connection, or any type of intimacy whatsoever. I always tell guys, if you're going to get anything out of this discovery call, because they get on a discovery call, I was like, don't ever ask your wife that question again. Instead, ask her what's called. Now, here's a tactic and a skill. Generative questions. Generative questions are different than crappy questions. How was your day? Is terrible. Tell me about the best part of your day and tell me why it was so meaningful to you. In that voice tone, which, by the way, is another tactic. I could ask the exact same question in a low energy, low vibration voice tone and it doesn't hit. So tell me about the best part of your day. Why was it so meaningful?
Larry said I had to ask.
Right. You know, it's like, that's another tactic, right? Huh. But when you're asking your wife a generative question, a generative question generates connection. It generates an elevated sense of communication. It generates energy. If you're asking her about the best part of her day, you're generating her into a state of gratitude. And anytime we ever talk about anything exciting or something great that happened to us today, how great do we feel telling that other person? It provides this amazing environment of like, man, feels really good to talk to you, right? So that's just one of several things that we teach, but you guys get it. So like, for instance, very tactically, you teach your clients how to get fit. This is what you need to do. This is how you do it. And this is when you do it. We're no different. So when a guy starts to do that and he gets those reps in, right, and he starts to elevate the connection with his wife, suddenly he comes back a few weeks later. He's like, dude, me and my wife are having conversations we haven't had in years. Hmm. And it all comes from these generative questions. And that's just one skill set. So that's how you get the before and after.
So let's stay on this for a minute. You've got you've given us some great tactics, bedtime questions, generative questions with your wife. Give us one more. Can you give us one more? Give us another tactic. I would say to a fitness guy, yeah, you're gonna have to walk 10,000 steps. What's the equivalent? Like, what would be another tactic I could use to be a legendary dad or a husband?
I'll give you a couple. How about that?
Yeah. Give me a couple.
So John Gottman, he is like the man when it comes to marriage, right? John Gottman, over a 40-year time period, studied thousands of married couples, what made successful married couples from set apart from others. It takes 5 positive, loving interactions to 1 negative to create a quote-unquote good marriage.
To create 5 to 1 is the number.
5 to 1 is the number.
Yeesh.
And here's what I'll tell you. It's not the big things. It's not you sitting on a park bench and a plane goes by. I love you, Sarah. It's not the big things. If you're not doing the little things, like, so for instance, if you're in your phone while she's talking to you and you do the biplane with, I love you, Sarah, it's not going to land. It's not going to hit. The big things don't matter if you're not doing the small things. So here's do the small things. Write your wife a note, put it on her mirror, send her flowers for absolutely no reason. You know, do the dishes if her love language is acts of service, something like that. Now here's what I'll tell you. I'll help out the guys in your audience the best way I can. Chris Voss, he is he's the former chief hostage negotiator for the FBI. He wrote a beautiful book called Never Split the Difference. It's basically a master's degree in communication is really what it is. Chris teaches this thing called tactical empathy and emotional labeling. When your wife comes to you and she's venting about something, what do men do?
Take a deep breath. Try to mentally escape, I suppose. I don't know.
We try to solve the problem.
We
try to escape the issue. We try to escape the connection. That's what I do, and try and solve the problem as fast as possible.
So you guys both nailed it. We either disengage from it or we solve the problem. Mm-hmm. The majority of the time we try to solve the problem. We think, I am loving this woman so much right now. I just want to take away her pain and solve her problem. She is going to appreciate this so much. That's how we think it lands. How it lands for her is, you didn't hear a word I said. In fact, the fact that you're telling me how to solve this problem is very condescending to me. And it makes me feel like you don't even trust me enough to try to solve my own problems. That's how she's actually taking it. So instead, you use these skills that Chris teaches, which is tactical empathy with using emotional labels. So like, I'll give you 2 different scenarios. If I come home and I say, hey, Jess, and let's just say it's a shitty question. How was your day? Oh my God, today was terrible. Colton was driving me crazy. He spilled his milk all over the place. Like, you know, and then he acted out real bad. He talked back to me. And if I were to be like, well, you know what we should do then is we should, anytime Colton spills his milk, he should clean it up himself. And I'm going to go talk to him. He should be putting time out. He shouldn't be talking to you that way. That's what's going to happen. Right. And she'll be like, did you just hear a word I said? And be like, of course I did. I just, just told you how we could solve this. Right. I know you didn't hear me. Yeah, I did. That's how these conversations roll. Now, if I come home, same thing. How was your day? Colton acted out. He talked back to me. He spilled his milk. It was just like, he just was relentless today. It was a very crazy day. Instead, I'll be like, wow, that sounds overwhelming. Man, who wouldn't be overwhelmed? Tell me more. Mm. Now, what I just did was I labeled her emotion with saying, that sounds overwhelming. I normalized it by saying, who wouldn't be overwhelmed? And I invited her to tell me more by not asking why. There's a difference. Tell me more is an invite. Why do you feel that way is accusatory. So if I were to even if I was on a good trajectory with that, that sounds overwhelming. Who wouldn't be overwhelmed? Why do you feel so bad? Or why are you so angry? Or why are you so overwhelmed? Like, to her, that's like, oh, that doesn't feel good to me. That feels derogatory. Instead, tell me more. It's an invite. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
So don't try to solve genius. Her problems. Allow her to talk.
Yeah.
This is genius, man. Adrian, let's do rapid fire round.
Okay, Larry, we're running short on time and we got a few more questions. So You get 15 seconds per answer. Okay.
All right, man.
All right, ready. Here we go. Number one, last week we had Kyle Carnahan, Superhuman Fathers. Do you know Kyle at all? Seen his brand? Oh. He's, yeah. So Kyle said something that we want to get your take on. Epic dads have to be physically fit. They have to be ripped and jacked. And it's provoked a lot of kind of debate in our community. What are your thoughts? Epic dads have to be ripped and jacked.
No. Epic dads need to be healthy. Ripped and jacked, I mean, maybe it's a nice to have. I don't think it's a need to have.
His logic was around the idea of if you're overweight, you're selfish. You're prioritizing your own. Anyways, it's worth thinking about. I hope people come back to this question. Number two, can you go too far with intentionality in your home? You do a lot of intentional things. Our dad did stuff like that. At our birthdays, he'd make all of our friends go around the circle and say one thing nice to us. Like it would be like, Jamie, what do you think about Adrian? And Jeff, what do you think about Adrian? And it felt a little awkward at the time. Can you go too far with intentionality in your home?
Wow, that's a good question. My first gut reaction is no. But at the same time, I think it's really important to know your kids. So just really quick, I know I only have 15 seconds. My 16-year-old would love that. My 14-year-old would hate it. Mm. So I think it's important to know the level of maybe intention or attention a kid needs. If your kid doesn't really respond to that and it's maybe a more negative impact to them, then think about maybe your approach a little differently.
Great answer. Okay, next one. Larry, in 30 seconds, what's the edge? The dad's edge. What is the edge? If I've got the edge, what have I got?
The edge is skills. I know the skills. I know the tactics. I know how to create an extraordinary marriage because I have the GPS to do so. One of the things I teach is 9 skill sets within to do that within marriage. If you want to be a more patient father, there's a skill set that goes with that. A lot of guys think, well, if I'm more patient, that's a feeling. It's not. It's a skill. It's emotional resilience, just packaged up a little bit differently. The edge is knowing the skills, and implementing the skills. That's what the edge is. And the edge is also the confidence of like, I have a map to fall back on. It's no longer feelings for me. It's a map. It's a skill set. It's a toolkit that I can use.
Love it. The edge is the edge. This is my last one. Is the edge on the former version of yourself? Is the edge on other guys? The edge on your kids? Is it your son? Mason certainly had the edge on you in that particular situation. It's the edge on... Like, how would you finish that off?
It's a great question. So the edge can be something that you have yourself, right? The edge is also something you can learn and borrow from a man who's ahead of you or who knows it. Like, hey, let me give you my edge, right? And in that's a beautiful scenario. In that particular moment with Mason, he gave me his and he taught me a lesson and I was open to it. So the edge could be within. It could also be external. And don't ever discriminate where the edge could come from. Sometimes it comes from your 8-year-old, right? And sometimes it comes from a 50-year-old. You just got to be open to it.
Yeah, love that. You've talked about a lot so much. Larry, where could other men find you before Vince wraps up here?
I got one question.
Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how badass was this podcast, Larry?
Dude, this was a 10. You guys are great, man. Like the energy, you know, plus like you both have cool face sweaters. I'm kind of jealous. Like I can't grow one because it comes in like super curly and really weird looking.
But Larry, you got the bicep popping on the shoulder there. Don't worry about it. Fit dad. It does matter. Being a fit dad does matter. 100%. You got busy. I see the stuff you're doing with your kids. You're going down rivers and all sorts of stuff. That would be really friggin' hard if you weren't a fit dad. You do have to be fit.
Larry, we love what you're doing, man. And we love who you are. And we're so glad we finally connected. And I love to support anything you got going on. So where can other men find you?
TheDadEdge.com is the easiest way. I'm the Dad Edge everywhere else on IG and Instagram and now TikTok, which I don't manage our TikTok account because I think it's weird. But that's where you can find everything. Is just Google the Dad Edge, you'll find it.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Hey, listen, everyone. If you guys got some value from this, I'm sure you got more than your fair share today and took tons of notes. Please share this on social media. Pay it forward. Tag us, Men of Bedrock, Vince Del Monte, The Dad Edge. Tag us all. We'll reshare it so more people can experience the amazing lessons and the tactics and the mindset that we gained today on being a better dad and a better man overall. So thanks, Larry and Adrian. Great work today. And we'll see you guys all soon. Yo, thank you so much for listening. I hope you got a ton of value. And as a token of my appreciation for enjoying the show, if you don't mind leaving a 5-star rating as well as a genuine review, whether it's a sentence or a paragraph, that's up to you. I would like to extend my gratitude by sending you a free sample of my all-day energy formula, Preload. It is the world's only all-day energy and focus formula, and you will love it. All you got to do is head on over to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, take a screenshot, and then send it over to me on my Instagram account at Vince Del Monte with your home address, and we will get that shipped out. You are amazing. Thank you, and we'll see you in the next episode.